But the answer of his people was no other than they said, the people said to Lut alayhi salam, what did they say? They said, expel the family of Lut from your city. In other words, the people said, take these people out, the evil people, the sinful people. This is what they said. Drive the family of Lut alayhi salam out of the city. For Lut alayhi salam and his family are a pure people, a pious people, a clean people, a moral people. So we don't want such people in our community. We want to take them out from here and drive them out of here. The filthy lusts and the shameless passions, the disease, the sick state of mind, and the awful crimes against humanity of the people of Nabi Lut alayhi salam were considerable indeed. They remained in a constant state of impurity and uncleanness. The family of Nabi Lut alayhi salam, excepting for his wife, lived a clean and a pure life. They followed Nabi Lut alayhi salam and they were obedient to his teachings and they did not associate with the evil people. This provided the evil-doing people with sufficient reason to seek to drive Nabi Lut alayhi salam and his family out of the city of Sodom. By removing chastity and purity, by banishing modesty and piety, the evil-doers assumed that they would be free to indulge in their shameless sodomic activities. In Surah A'raf, the Quran Majid says, وَمَا كَانَ جَوَابَ قَوْمِهِ إِلَّا أَن قَالُوا أَخْرِجُوهُم مِّن قَرِيَتِكُمْ إِنَّهُمْ أُنَاسٌ يَتَطَهَّرُونَ Surah Araf 7, Surah of the Quran, ayat number 82 says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the answer of his people, in other words, to the preaching of Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam was, and the answer of his people was no other than they said to him, expel them from your city, for they are a people who keep themselves pure. Nabi Lut alayhi salam increased the pace of his preaching and inviting towards goodness and piety. He warned them of severe punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if they continued with their intransigence. He invited them towards morality and to Allah fear. He reminded them that all of humanity would face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment, on the day of Qiyamah. He asked them to curb their evil ways, to recant and to repent so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may have mercy on them. The people responded as follows. What I'm telling you is at various places where Nabi Lut alayhi salam went to preach, this was the kind of response that the people gave. They would come and listen, then they would tell things to Nabi Lut alayhi salam, such as these that are. And remember, Allah's language, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's language is pure. You yourself can imagine how dirty and how filthy was the language of the people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used pure language throughout the Quran. But you yourselves can understand a dirty, a filthy, an immoral and a corrupt people. What kind of language they must have used with Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam. Says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, where Nabi Lut alayhi salam is addressing a crowd here, a crowd there, a crowd there, different venues, different places. This is the type of responses of the people. Therefore in the Quran it has been reported in various different places, it has been reported, because it is different groups of people that have given him these responses. Says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَمَا كَانَ جَوَابَ قَوْمِهِ إِلَّا أَنْ قَالُوا اُتِنَا بِعَذَابِ اللَّهِ إِن كُنْتَ مِنَ الصَّادِقِينَ Surah Ankabut 29, Surah of the Quran, ayat number 29. But the answer of his people was only that they said, bring upon us the punishment of Allah if you are of the truthful one. Subhanallah. Look at the people. Oh, Lut alayhi salam, you are telling us that if we continue to indulge in all these shameful activities, then your Allah is going to punish us. Where is your Allah? Where is the punishment? Na'uzu billah. Where is the punishment? Why don't you send down the... Tell you Allah to punish us. Astaghfirullah, brothers. This was the kind. Here it is. فَمَا كَانَ جَوَابَ قَوْمِهِ إِلَّا أَن قَالُوا اُتِنَا بِعَذَابِ اللَّهِ إِن كُنْتَ مِنَ الصَّادِقِينَ Oh Nuh. Oh Lut. Don't tell us these stories. Don't threaten us, oh Lut. Don't tell us if we do evil, we will be punished. Subhanallah, brothers. You know, we tell sometimes. I was so hurt this week. Very, very hurt this week. I don't know how many of you are aware, where Muslims can go into the newspapers and express their pride at being gamblers. You must have seen now recently in the papers. People gamble and commit haram activities. Muslims open liquor stores. More and more I find everywhere. Buildings belonging to Muslims and Muslim companies that are opening up big business premises and houses to let and so on. And they are, in every one of these big business premises, they are renting it out to liquor companies. Astaghfirullah. Yes, you can find. Mawlana is sitting here from Yasarava. He will also tell you, not far away from him, there are two huge business places, and they have now opened up liquor outlets there. Astaghfirullah, brothers. I mean, how do we want to earn our money? A gambler, multi-millionaire, who has no need of gambling money, goes onto the paper and he says, I have so many horses and so many of them race, and I've won so much and I'm so proud of it and I've done a great thing, and I thank you for the prize and the trophy that I have won. You read your papers, you will find all this. These are famous people. And these people make contributions also to masajid and madrasas and charitable causes and so on. Why do you think we can't succeed in anything that we do? They give. And they think that covers up for their sins. Brothers, all of us have got to die. And all have got to face our Maker and our Creator. What are they going to... Don't they believe in a hereafter? Here it is. The people of Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam, at first they said, we'll drive you out. Then they said, stop talking to us, we don't want to hear you. Then they plucked their ears. All the natural and normal reactions and responses of an evil people. Then they went and said, oh Lut, you threaten us and you tell us that Allah's azab will come us if we don't leave this evil. Where is the azab that you talk? Last time you said that we will be punished. Now you are saying we will, every time we listen to you, you say we're going to be punished. They said, hereafter we will be judged and Allah will punish us for our sins and so on. But we don't see anything happening. We are going on with our way, and why are you telling us? If you are truthful, in other words, look at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's kalam, ya Allahu Akbar, look at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They told him he is a liar, he's an imposter, he's a fraud. Na'uzu billah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, look how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put it in Allah's pure kalam, says Allah, in kunta minas sadiqeen, which is basically the same thing. In kunta minas, if you are truthful. Or if you are truthful, what did they say? They told him, Lut alayhi salam, you are lying to us. They called him a liar. They called him a madman. They called him a soothsayer. All these things, all the anbiyas were called these names. Subhanallah, Allah's kalam is so pure. Says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran Pak, and the people of Lut alayhi salam responded, and what did they say? Bring upon us the punishment of Allah if you are of the truthful ones. When the stage is reached, I will conclude just now, brothers, when the stage is reached in the history of a people that they hold no fear for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that they hold contempt for the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the divine decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with regard to that nation comes into motion. This is exactly what happened in the case of the people of Nabi Lut alayhi salam. The people no longer held any fear of the wrath and punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not only because they disbelieved in the power, the qudra and the might of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or that they disbelieved in Allah ta'ala completely, but because they believed in themselves. Such was their awesome arrogance. They had reached their lowest ebb. They could not sink any further. They were destitute of humanity, of human reason. They had shed their humanity altogether. Nothing, they were neither animal, they were neither human nor animal. Let's put it to you like that. They were, because look, no human being commits sodomy. No animal commits sodomy. They were committing sodomy. So what are they? Lower than humans and lower than beasts. They were neither human nor were they animal. Astaghfirullah, brothers. This is what a gay is, and this is what a lesbian is, this is what a homosexual is. He's neither human, nor is he an animal. He has fallen even below the animal. Nothing could save them now from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi Lut alayhi salam had done his best. He had given it all he could. And now in desperation, Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and says, Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam, Qala Rabbin surni ala al-qawmil mufsideen. Oh Allah, I've had enough of these people. قَالَ رَبِّ انصُرْنِي عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الْمُفْسِدِينَ Surah An-Kabut 29 Surah of the Quran Ayat number 30 Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam said, My sustainer, my Rabb, my provider, help me against these broken. Everything you have asked me, I have done, O Allah. I have day and night, I have preached to these people. I have asked them for no reward. But they will not leave their wicked ways. Oh Allah, please help me. Who else is Nabi Lut alayhi salam going to turn to? Oh Allah, help me. Rabbin, qala rabbin surani. Allah, help me. Allah, help me against these corrupt people. The people were uncaring, they were daring, and they were daredevil. They continue to indulge in acts of sodomy. The punishment of Allah Ta'ala comes in strange and unknown ways. Subhanallah. That way I'm not going to tell you, we'll leave it for next week. But here it is, Allah's punishment. Here is a Nabi, a beloved of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, turning to Allah and he's saying, Ya Allah, everything I have done, whatever you revealed to me, whatever you instructed me, every divine instruction I have carried out, your divine will, your divine commandment, O Allah Ta'ala, I have done. Day and night I have labored with these people. I have called them and invited them towards goodness and piety. I'm caring for myself, not worrying about my life. I've gone into them and I've done my job, Ya Allah. I've carried out my task, I've carried out my duty. They will not listen. O Allah, help me now. Help me. And now, a Nabi and a Rasul, Allah's beloved has asked for Allah's help. Help must come. But each Nabi and each Rasul has been helped in a miraculous way. Very, very miraculous way. Very strange way. And Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam made his call. He asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and now we must see the pattern and the design of Allah's plan. وَمَكَرُوا وَمَكَرَ اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكَرِينَ Allah is the best of planners, and Allah's plan man cannot understand. You will hear next week how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's plan came into operation. And also I add that the punishment of Allah comes in strange and unknown ways, and it comes in its own time as Allah ta'ala decrees, and when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills, and not a second before. Nabi Lut alayhi salam warned his people, and he asked them to leave evil. So after asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he still goes to the people and he still begs them, he still asks them, he still invites them, he still beseeches them to leave evil and to come towards piety, morality and goodness. Jazakumullah. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. This must have been flowing into them. For I see, I hold in my hand the latest and the newest. I think this cannot be very, very old. It's maybe a year or so ago. Here is a version. It has the commentary of the Quran. It is corrected. I want to read out to you just one section which will show you and prove to you that we were right. I in particular was right, and my colleagues were right in attacking Yusuf Ali's commentary. A lot of people found it very, very strange when we told them that Yusuf Ali's version is completely wrong. Here they admit to this, and they say very, very clearly that they have corrected all those. Here we are. They say, it became obvious from studying these translations that the second option demanded much time and effort, neither of which were available at the time. The first option was therefore considered to be more practical, since it met the existing urgent requirements and helped to achieve the desired goal in a comparatively short period of time. The translation by the late Ustad Abdullah Yusuf Ali was consequently chosen for its distinguishing characteristics, such as highly elegant style, a choice of words close to the meaning of the original text, accompanied by scholarly notes and commentaries. Now, I don't agree with this. They are still praising him here, and they are saying they chose the translation. All these years, for almost 20, 30 years, they've been distributing the translation of Abdullah Yusuf Ali, commentary of Abdullah Yusuf. So they say for 20, 30 years, the reason for their choice, Abdullah, their reason, is not the contents. Here it is. They say, for its distinguishing characteristics, what are they? They are elegant style. Subhanallah, is that a reason for choosing? Elegant style, in other words, very good English. A choice of words close to the meaning of the original text. In other words, his translation is good. I have no argument to that. And then accompanied by scholarly notes and commentaries. Why did they then do, if his notes and commentaries are scholarly, why have they done away with it? So they should have criticized him here, but now they're trying to keep their self-respect as well.
But this is totally wrong, brothers. They should have criticized it outrightly. But anyway, now they admit. The committee began revising and correcting this translation with the aid of other translations available, by comparing and then adopting best expressions, as well as by introducing fresh expressions where necessary. The committee was fully aware of all the criticisms that had been directed against this translation, in other words, Yusuf Ali's, and which had been carefully brought to the notice of the presidency by a number of academic bodies and other involved parties. In the second stage, and so on, then they carry on. But I'm not too sure, and I'm not going to make any comment. This is the first time I see this particular commentary of the Quran. I think it needs to be carefully gone through and see what corrections they have made and how apt they have. I'm not too sure whether they have made the necessary commentaries as it should be, in conformity with our great Mufassirin. I would still like to see that, because they are still the secular control in most Arab governments still exists, whether it's Saudi Arabia or any other place. There is a lot of tight secular control, and they would like Islam to be explained particularly to the Western mind in a style and a way where it will appeal to that person's way of thinking. Quran is not, commentary of the Quran is not like that. Whether it appeals to us or not is not of concern. What is of concern is accuracy, keeping to the Sunnah translation and commentary. In other words, on a particular ayat, what did Sayyidina wa Nabina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say about it? How did he explain it? And how did the Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullahi ta'ala alim, how did they understand it? How did they teach it? That's all. How did the great Mufassirin explain it and teach it? Whether they have kept along those lines is something I will come back to you on. Alright, but this relieves the burden of turning to Yusuf Ali. And if this is good enough and accurate, then I will recommend it to you. Just bide your time and give me a little chance until I go over it, then I will tell you. And if it is a good translation, then each one of us will try. I don't have a personal copy as well. We must try to get it and use it as our reference. It will take away a very great burden from our shoulders, inshallah. Alright, brothers, those are the announcements I have to make. Let's now proceed. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم Alhamdulillah, all thanks and praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our sustainer, our creator, our provider, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our supreme master. We send also darud and salam upon the beloved messenger of Allah Ta'ala, the final Rasul of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala to mankind, Sayyidina wa Nabina Muhammadur Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We also seek the mercies and blessings of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala for the Sahaba Ikram, companions of Sayyidina Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Ridwanullahi Ta'ala Alayhim Ajma'in. Our lesson, Shaitan's Plan for Man. In this, we are doing the chapter, the story of Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wassalam in the Valley of Jordan, in the Valley of Siddim, as it was formerly known in this particular time, where these five towns, cities stood, where the Dead Sea stands today, known as Mu'tafika. Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wassalam worked very hard there. I've brought the story to a stage wherein Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam has tried and tried over and over again to convince his people to believe in Tawheed, Risalat and Akhirat. And I have told you the responses of the people. They refused to give up their lifestyle, one in which they practiced a libertine way of life, meaning a permissive way of life, in which they invented by the direct result of shaitan, the act of sodomy. And they indulged in these acts of sodomy in private as well as in public. They ignored their wives, daughters. They left the women folk aside, turned them into chattels and slaves, used them and abused them. And the males, you lusted after male, particularly the young and the handsome. And then, of course, from the Quran, I started last week quoting to you the ayat of the Quran, which list for us the responses of the people and the preachings of Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wassalam. I ended with this particular ayat last week, wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah An-Kabut, 29 Surah of the Quran, ayat number 30, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, قَالَ رَبِّنْ سُرَنِي عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الْمُفْسِدِينَ. Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wassalam said, قَالَ رَبِّنْ سُرَنِي, O Allah, my sustainer, O my creator, O my provider, my sustainer, help me against these corrupt and wicked people. رَبِّنْ سُرُنِي عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الْمُفْسِدِينَ. Help me against these wicked people. Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam asked for the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when he found himself failing in his preaching to his people to leave these unnatural vices. The people of Mu'tafika were uncaring, they were daring, they were daredevil. They continued to indulge in acts of sodomy, both in private as well as in public. In other words, behind doors as well as in the open fields. The punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes in strange and unknown ways. And Allah's punishment comes in its own time, according to whatever method Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees. And it comes whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills it to come down. And it won't come down a second before. Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam warned his people, and he asked his people repeatedly to desist from this unnatural form of lust. And he told them over and over again. And he told them here, and he told them there, and he told them everywhere. Says the Quran Pak, Ala inni la'amalikum min al-qalin. Surah Shu'ara, 26 Surah of the Quran, ayat number 168. Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam told them, he said, meaning Lut alayhi salam said, verily, I abhor your conduct. Inni la'amalikum min al-qalin. I hate what you are doing. The things that you are indulging, I am telling you repeatedly over and over again that what you are doing is unnatural. I am calling upon you to restrain your emotions and your passions, to control your lust. And you refuse to do so. Why? Why do you refuse? You know what you are doing is wicked. You know it is wrong and it is evil. Yet you go on doing so. I declare that I hate what you do. I reject what you do. They were totally devoid of shame and decency. They invited him and his family to take part in their evil and sinful actions. Na'uzubillah. Can you imagine the obstinacy, the evil ways of these people? Brothers, here I want to add a little note. I last week mentioned this to you, that please brothers, these are holidays. It's December. Many of us are on holiday. I made a special appeal by saying that if you do happen to take your family out, please go to places where they will not see evil, that they will not hear evil. You know what the condition is on our beaches, on our strands. You are fully aware. You know, with the removal of apartheid, it will lead to mixed beaches, and you know what is happening in places like Clifton and elsewhere. I do not have to tell you this. You know that all forms of nakedity, just a piece of and a strip of cloth, is all that is permitted. Brothers, my appeal to you was, even that, looking on that, even for our children, it is evil. It is wrong. It is haram. Even for us it is haram. Therefore I say, if you can stay within your house for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you can enjoy with your family in your yard, or you can go to some place where you can be alone, brothers, surely there are many places, isolated places, many mountain trails and rides and drives and so on, where there are little picnic spots put aside, where you and your family can really enjoy yourself. go to such places where there is, where our children will not see and we will not see all these evil things of the flesh. That, I am asked always, why do we become like this? Why do we lust after flesh? Why are there so many crimes of passion? Lovely names they have, crimes of passion committed, in which many Muslims are involved. Brothers, these are the reasons why the eyes see that which they should not see. Then the mind and the heart lusts for it. This is what happens. So, or rather, protect. And if you protect your family, see that which they should not see, then the mind and the heart lusts for it. This is what happens. So, or rather, protect. And if you protect your family for the sake of our deen, for the sake of being obedient to Sharia, and for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah's rahmah will come down upon you. You know, one of the complaints about us is, there is no barakah in our money. Now, I guarantee you that if you protect your family, particularly your children's eyesight from seeing haram things, you will see the barakah in your money. You will see how your money will stretch, how far your food goes and how far your income goes. I guarantee it to you. Evil removes barakah. And most of our evil is committed by our senses, by our eyes, committing all kinds of zina. And that's where barakah goes out. So brothers, please remember this. And I brought that in for this reason, that here were the people of Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wassalam, a shameless people completely, and they were doing all these things which removed all the barakah from them and brought on the la'na of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the adab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They became so daring that they even invited Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wassalam to indulge in their shameless ways. No punishment had come yet. So they badgered Nabi Lut alayhi salam with all kinds of insinuations and insults. Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wassalam turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and made this fervent appeal, dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is contained in the Quran Pak. Said Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wassalam, addressing himself appealingly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after he had got tired from talking to his people, he said, and this is recorded, his dua in the Quran as follows: Rabbi najjini wa ahli mimma ya'malun. Rabbi najjini wa ahli mimma ya'malun. Surah Shu'ara 26, Surah of the Quran, ayat number 169. Said Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam, my sustainer, my Rabb, save me and my family from that which they do. These people, this sodomy, this sin, this evil, this robbery, this theft, this stealing, this murdering, this raping, this killing, this sodomizing. Oh Allah, save me and my family from these shameless and unnatural lustful activities in which my people indulge. Save me and my family. Why did he make this dua? Because the people had become, I use the words, uncaring, daring and daredevil. They had become so drowned in their misery and their shamelessness and their lust that they were asking Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam, inviting Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam and his family and the pious believers to indulge in the same awful and horrible and terrible lustful activities. So he asked this dua because the people had gone beyond the boundaries of reason in their transgressions. This appeal, this prayer, this dua was from a dedicated messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who had spent considerable time and effort in preaching to his people and trying to convince them to leave their evil ways. The plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now comes into operation. Now you follow as I proceed with Quran and commentary how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's plan, subhanallah, wa makaru wa makarallah, how Allah's makar comes into plan. Shaitan's plan, man's plan on one side, and Allah's divine plan on the other side. And you follow me as I proceed now to lay down for you the plan, the wise plan, the perfect plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is a unique plan. It is full of wisdom. It is well beyond the understanding of man. The dua of a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not go unanswered. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, how did Allah respond to the dua of his Nabi? In the following way, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran Pak, فَأَنْجَيْنَاهُ وَأَهْلَهُ إِلَّا امْرَأَتَهُ كَانَتْ مِنَ الْغَابِرِينَ. Surah Araf, 7th Surah of the Quran, ayat number 83, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we saved Lut and his family, excepting his wife. She was of those who stayed behind. Meaning, she stayed behind with the accursed people, with the evildoers. And she was also punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the punishment that befell the unbelievers and evildoers. So, here it is again, and we saved Lut. Lut asked Allah, Lut alayhi salam asked Allah's help. Allah responded by saving him and his family, meaning by family, his immediate family, meaning his blood, kit and kin, as well as the true believers who belong to the family of believers, kanat min al ghabirin, and his wife, and all the unbelievers were punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The wife of Nabi Lut alayhi salam was an unbeliever, and this is why she was not saved from the calamity which befell the people eventually, of which I'm still going to tell you. Nabi Lut alayhi salam, the rest of his family of believers, and the small band of true believers who had accepted him as the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, were all saved from destruction which struck the people of Nabi Lut alayhi salam. In another ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَأَنْجَيْنَاهُ وَأَهْلَهُ إِلَّا امْرَأَتَ قَدَّرْنَاهَا مِنَ الْغَابِرِينَ. Surah Namal 27, Surah of the Quran, ayat number 57. Thus we saved Lut and his family, excepting his wife. She we decreed to be of those who stayed behind, meaning who stayed behind with the evildoers and was subsequently punished with the rest of them, with the punishment that descended from the heavens upon them. So says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, thus we saved Lut. Now the word Lut is not used here. I am inserting it so that you understand the translation correctly. فَأَنْجَيْنَاهُ وَأَهْلَهُ إِلَّا امْرَأَتَ. Then we saved him and his family, excepting his wife. She, says Allah ta'ala, she we decreed to be of those who stayed behind. She stayed behind and was punished with the rest of the unbelievers for their sin and evil and wickedness. She preferred the company. Here are the reasons why she was also destroyed with the rest of the evil people. The reasons are as follows. She preferred the company of the evil and notorious people of Sodom over and above the companionship and advice of her husband, the messenger of Allah Ta'ala, Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wassalam. Also, she spent more time with her incorrigible people than with her family. Also because, and this is why she was not saved by the divine will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are the reasons why she was not saved. The question is, what was the divine plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and how did this plan unfold? Here follows the true story of the rescue of Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wassalam and his family of believers by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved them. Now, the style I have adopted here, or rather the method I have adopted here, as I've done in the past, is as follows. I will give you the whole story first. I will give you now the whole story of Allah's plan. And thereafter, I will follow this up with a relevant ayat from the Quran Pak, which will explain to you the whole procedure. I have taken it from the ayat of the Quran. The Quran was in front of me. I took all the ayat of the Quran and then I've written the story exactly as it is in the Quran Pak. And now I will give it to you and then I will start reciting those necessary verses of the Quran. It goes like this. Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was most concerned with the welfare and the progress of Nabi Lut alayhi salam. And Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam kept himself informed about it through travelers and messengers. Now the love and the understanding between Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam and Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam was almost that of a father and son. Remember, the uncle, Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam was the uncle of Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam. So there was a keen bond and love between the two. And Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam grew up in the presence of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. He was tutored, he was taught by Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. He, wherever Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam went preaching, Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam went with him. When Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam made hijrah from Mesopotamia, from Babylon, then Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam accompanied him on their journey to Syria, thence to Egypt, thence back to Syria, and from there, I've told you the story, Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam came southwards to Palestine, and Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam remained in Syria. So Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam kept himself informed about developments in Sodom and Gomorrah in North Africa through travelers and messengers. And he was very pleased with the work of dawah and tabligh with which Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam was engaged in his region. And he always, Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam always made dua for Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam's success. Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, we all know, was a famous hunter. On one of his frequent hunting trips, he came across three complete strangers who appeared very trustworthy and respectable and friendly to him. Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was an extremely hospitable person, a very caring man, very loving person. And he, I mean, you can understand that by his name, Khalilullah, the friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was a very friendly, a very warm-hearted person. So when he saw these three strangers, he invited the three people to join him on his return home, to which they agreed, and so they accompanied him to the home of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam. There at home, Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam made them comfortable in his home, and he went into his yard, and he chose a nice young heifer or a calf, and he then, after slaughtering this calf, he took the nice tender meat, fresh meat, from this, and then he prepared for them what we will call kebab, you can call it, or what we call meatballs. He prepared special meatballs for them, which was a very delicious dish of those days. From this fresh meat, tender meat, he cut it up, and he prepared meatballs of the soft and tender meat for his guests. He was very pleased to have them, and he went to great lengths to prepare this dish tastefully for them. When it was ready, he invited them to partake of the deliciously prepared food. But to his complete surprise and consternation, they refused. Allahu Akbar. They refused to eat of this which he prepared with so much effort. Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam prepared this delicious dish for them, placed it in front of them, and he said, "Now, eat of it." And they refused to partake of it. Now Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam starts wondering, why would they refuse, he wondered. They did not appear like enemies to him. Were they perhaps, was he mistaken perhaps, were they his enemies? With these thoughts in mind, Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam then asked them, he said, "Who are you? Who are you? And what do you want?" Seeing his bewilderment, the strangers replied, "We are the messengers of Allah, and we have been sent to destroy the people of Nabi Lut alayhi salam. We are on our way to Sodom." As soon as Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam realized that they were angels, malaikas, sent on a mission by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam relaxed, and he proceeded to question them. He relaxed completely. He said, "Well, yes, now it makes sense. You must be malaikas that you have that have been sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." I am cutting out one part of the story, the part where the angels came to Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam to inform him about the birth of a son to him. I'm leaving that part out. It has nothing to do with the story of Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam. We will be making this story a very lengthy one if I go into that. So I'm leaving that part out, why they came. But at the same time, when they had finished with their mission to Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, they then told him that they are here and their mission is to go to Mu'tafiqah, where the people of Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam have to be destroyed by the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We take our story from there and we'll carry on from there. avoiding the other part of the story. So, as soon as Nabi Ibrahim al-Islam realized that they were angels sent on a mission by Allah Ta'ala, he relaxed and he proceeded to question them, and he asked them, how can you destroy the people of Nabi Lut? How can you destroy the people of Nabi Lut alayhi salam when he is a Nabi of Allah and he is amongst them, he's living amongst them, and he is engaged in his task of inviting them towards true belief, true worship and true devotion? The angels replied, we know this. Look at the concern of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam for Nabi Lut alayhi salam. I mean, you are going there. Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam is not any wiser. Remember, first point you must note here is the fact that Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam is a leading Rasul of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and yet a leading messenger, Khalil of Allah alayhi salam, and yet he did not recognize these three people to be malaikas of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, absolute knowledge is only with Allah. Allah releases such information only when he wants to, and if he wants to whoever he wants to, even if it be his most beloved, his friend. This is how it is indicated in the Quran Pak and the Hadith. That was one very important moot point. Then again, he doesn't even know, Nabi Ibrahim al-Islam doesn't even know their purpose, why they have come. All these things, brothers, is not for me to say, is for you to note. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone is Alim and Khabir. Anyway, to proceed now. Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam's concern for his nephew, Nabi Lut alayhi salam. Nabi Lut alayhi salam is living there. Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is unaware of the fact that Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam will be saved. He is not aware of it. So he asks, you are going to bring about the azab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the people of Nabi Lut. And Nabi Lut alayhi salam, when Allah's azab comes, it wipes out everybody, it destroys everybody. So it will destroy Nabi Lut and his family as well. This is the question as a result of concern of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam. The malaikas reply and they say as follows. They say, we know this, O Ibrahim, we know this. But such is the command of Allah Ta'ala, for the people of Nabi Lut alayhi salam are a shameless, evil and despicable people who will be destroyed because they persist with lawlessness and sin. Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam and his family, however, will be saved, except his wife, who will be destroyed with the evildoers. This was the reply of the angels. Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam now understood, and he was happy. The continuing defiance and rebelliousness of the people of Nabi Lut alayhi salam had brought upon them the wrath and the punishment, the azab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they would all be destroyed because of it. These angels had been sent to warn and save Nabi Lut alayhi salam and his family from the destruction which was to come. The angels of Allah Ta'ala then took their leave of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam and proceeded on their way to Mu'tafiqah. In other words, to the valley of Siddim, with these areas, these five cities were called Mu'tafiqah. These malaikas left the home of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam and now went journeying, walking towards the home of Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam. In the meantime, Nabi Lut alayhi salam, who had become disgusted and disenchanted with the iniquities and the immoralities of his people, continued with his task of calling them towards goodness and virtue and reprimanding them for their evil and their sinful ways. Amar bil ma'ruf wa nahy anil munkar. That is the work of the Anbiya's. He continued to do his task. The people mocked and jeered and screamed and shouted, insulted, all the things he took from them. But he continued with his task. He warned them over and over about the disastrous results of the sin in which they shamelessly indulged. He asked them for no reward. Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam, towards the end of his career, his preaching to his people, he tells them, look, I'm asking you for no reward, no compensation, no wages, nothing I seek from you. He asked them for no offerings and oblations. I'm going to use the word here, nazar and niyaz. I ask you for no nazar and niyaz. I'll tell you what this is now. I'm asking you for no wages, no money for my services to you. Can't you get this through your thick skulls and your understanding? I am not asking you for reward. What I am giving you is true sincerity. I am a prophet of Allah, and what I am giving you I've been commanded to pass on to you. Be good, be virtuous, be pious, be upright, be honest. These are the messages that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala conveys to you through me. This is what he told them. And he told them, I'm asking you for no offerings and oblations. And brothers, this is important. Let's just do it in a minute and proceed. In other words, nazar and niyaz, you know what happens today? Nazar and niyaz is where we've got maybe the grave of a pious saint. What do people do? They go and offer their offerings and oblations, gifts and parcels and so on and so on. They go and leave there. What for? Why do you leave sugar there and flour there and all the rest of it? For what? For what do you go and burn incense sticks there? You know that is the way of the mushrikeen of the past, which Sayyidina Nabina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us we must get away from. He came to this world to rid humanity from making offerings and oblations to graves and saints and etc. etc. So here it is. Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wa salam told his people, I'm not asking you for offerings and oblations. You know what the Hindus do to their gods and deities? Have you seen what the Buddhists do to their gods and deities? They go and they place in front of Lord Buddha sweet things, offerings and oblations. For what reason? They think by making these offerings, oblations means gifts, by giving these things to our gods, created gods obviously, Buddha is most a cast and molded image. The Hindu gods and deities are also made from all kinds of stones and sticks and so on. So, what is the difference? They make these offerings, but what is the point behind it? The meaning behind it, as the gods will be pleased with us, and when the gods are pleased with us, we will be saved and enriched from calamities and disasters. We will be enriched, we will become richer, better, and we will receive returns and favors. That is the reason why people... What do people go to the grave of a saint, the tomb of a saint? What do they go for and make offerings? Offerings are no place. For what reason? For no reason. No, don't tell me that. Otherwise nobody would go there. They make these offerings at the site of these graves in order that they receive certain returns. And that is where the shirk comes in. Only Allah can give. Only Allah can grant. And that is shirk. It is shirk to expect any kind of favor and blessing from saints. They cannot reward you. Only Allah can. Yes, you can go and visit these graves. For what reason? Lil ibra. Only for the reason that, oh Allah, this was a saintly and pious person. Make me like him. Make me also saintly. Make me also good. Make me also pious. Make me also that I be a great worshipper of you, Allah, and a better servant and slave of you. That is a different thing. Remembering that you also have to go there and trying to be like the pious. So Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam tells them, I'm asking you for no reward, no offerings, no oblations am I seeking from you. I'm asking for no compensation of any kind. All he asked them was that they believe and they worship one true Allah, who is the master, creator and sustainer of the universe, and that they follow him, they follow his teaching, and they renounce their evil ways. Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam warned them that the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would certainly come down upon them unless they listened to him and they obeyed him. Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam was putting in more effort into his work than ever before. In the final days before Allah's adab came down on this area of Mu'tafiqah, Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam was putting in more and more effort into the work of da'wat and tabligh. He hardly rested and he hardly slept. He used to come home, lie down a little while, and the moment his eyes opened, he would be back on the road, inviting people towards good and advising people to stay away from evil. So he hardly rested, he hardly slept. He had asked for the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he knew that it would come soon. Although he was a prophet of Allah and he was a recipient of divine revelation of wahi, Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam had no idea whatsoever of the divine plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He had no idea at all. The angels who had departed from the residence of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam now arrive. Day and night Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam, without rest, without relaxation, most of the time without any food in his stomach, Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam is carrying out the work of da'wat and the work of tabligh. And it is at this stage when he is trying so hard and he is tired, he is only human, remember, that these three malaikas that have left the home of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam come marching into Sodom and they approach the house of Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam. Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam opens the door. They knock on his door, he opens his door and he welcomes these strange young men into his home. Brothers, Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam panics. When he sees them, he invites them to come into his home, but he panics. You know why? Because these are young men and these are handsome men. Subhanallah. They are young and they are handsome. Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam does not know, but absolutely not, that they are malaikas. He does not know. He opens the door, he sees three handsome young men in front of his door. And Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam immediately goes into a panic. But he invites them in. He is at the same time in desperate fear. What will the Sodomites do to these young, innocent and handsome men if they come to know? This is his panic. This is the reason for his panic. These people were evil. His people were evil and they were immoral. They were indecent and they were irresponsible. They would certainly attack his home and they would try to seize his guests for their evil desires. Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam had no knowledge that they were the angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was very disturbed. Nabi Lut alayhi salam was very fearful and he was very agitated. What could he do to save them in case of an attack? This is worrying Nabi Lut alayhi salam. What must I do, O Allah? What must I do if my people come to know? If this information leaks out and they come to know there are three handsome, beautiful young men here, unspoiled men, then what are they going to do? And what am I going to do to save them? They are my visitors. I have allowed them to come into my home. I am now to protect them. They must remain secure within my house. But this is the fear that and the panic that grips Nabi Lut alayhi salam. In the meantime, someone had already seen these handsome young men entering the home of Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam. Brothers, the tafasir that I have referred to indicate two things. One is that it was Nabi Lut alayhi salam's wife that let the people know that there are young handsome men in the home. That is one version. And the other is that as they came into the village, some people saw them coming, three handsome, and approaching the home of Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam. And then this is how the message spread throughout the village. So I, however, have taken the version, my ustad, when teaching this section, said, both are true. In other words, both are true. The wife also informed them, and they were also seen by certain people. Right, both ways are correct. And it spread. Word spread like wildfire through the town. Soon, a militant crowd gathered outside the door of the house of Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam. Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam was crying in his heart. He was weeping in his heart to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help and succor. Oh Allah, save these visitors of mine from the evil of my people. I have done everything you have asked me, O Allah, and still they neither listen to me nor desist from their evil ways. My guests are innocent, O Allah. Let my people not touch them. O Allah, save my visitors. O Allah, save my guests. The noise, the din, the furor grew outside his door as a crowd of male sodomists grew bigger and bigger and increased, and soon they began demanding the release of his visitors to them. They insisted, they knocked, they shouted, and they threatened Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam. Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam tried to pacify them with reason, but they were mentally bankrupt. He tried to calm their emotions, but they were emotionally uncontrollable. Years of sodomy had reduced them to imbecility, to stupidity, to idiocy, and to irrationality. Many of them were deranged and diseased. Lunacy, madness, incoherence, blindness, deafness, dumbness existed to a large extent in these communities, in their communities. Dolts, dullards, and distracted persons roamed their streets in a bewildering assortment of abnormal persons in their society. Sodomy was a direct cause of their unsound minds and their unhealthy bodies. Children born to sodomists were the saddest to see. They were feeble and pathetic and neglected indeed.
Brothers, I have said a few words here, and these we must also remember applies to our time, our day, and our age. This society which you and I call civilized society, we sometimes use the word modern society. Whether we regard ourselves and our day and our age and our time as modern or as civilized, let me tell you, we are living in the most ignorant of times and the most uncivilized and uncultivated of times. There is no culture today that worth talking of, that is worth talking of. There is no cultivated minds today. Hardly. I'm here talking of, obviously, of the unbelievers. I'm talking of the kuffar, mushrikeen, munafiqeen, kafirin I'm talking about. There is no such thing. You are well aware what I'm talking about. You know the increase of these problems in society. And you are aware of the causes of this. Evil abounds to such an extent. In the ahadith and in the tafasir, it is clearly written that these were the diseases that abounded in the period of Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam in his people, amongst his people. And the reason for that was sexual liberty, permissivity, promiscuity. People were indulging in all kinds of sexual lusts, living unmarried lives, using women folk freely, whoever they wanted to. I have already... using women folk freely, whoever they wanted to. I have already explained this to you. I have given you the ayat of the Quran as well. Any women that they wanted, any girl that they wanted to use, they were at liberty. They used to just take her and use her wherever they wanted to, whenever they wanted to, however they wanted to. I've mentioned to you, travelers used to coming into Sodom and Gomorrah and Mu'tafiqah, travelers as they were coming in, if there were women folk amongst them and they wanted to use them, they merely abused them, used them, did whatever they wanted. What kind of time are we living in? And what is happening, what diseases are rampant and increasing in society, our society of today? There it is. And I've used all these words, I've taken them out of the tafasir, and I've used the English equivalents. And if this is happening in this day and age, then we have gone back to the time. Not forwards. We haven't progressed, advanced, modernized, or become more civilized. No, brothers. We've become more uncivilized, more uncultivated, more uncultured, and increasingly ignorant. That is what has happened to us and the society in which we live. So here it is. I'm going to go through this quickly. As a result of sexual perversion, sodomy is one form of sexual perversion. There are others as well. All right? Here it is. Years of sodomy had produced in that society of Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam imbecility. In other words, worse than animals. They were living like imbeciles. In other words, stupidity, mad people, raving mad people were walking around all over the show in their communities. Idiots abounded all over. You found idiots sitting on the pavement, sitting in the grown-up men, sitting there and eating and eating and wetting and doing all the things, their toilets and so on. Shameless. No shame. Idiots. An idiot, you know what is an idiot. And completely irrational people. No amount of explanation and logical reasoning could get through to them. Then these diseases, many were mentally deranged. You go and see Falkenberg. Go and see here in the mental hospitals in Lentegeer and elsewhere and the other places all over the world. Go and see most of the prisoners. What type of people they are? Mentally deranged people. Does that not tell us a story of what is going, what kinds of evils are abounding in society when there are so many mentally deranged and mentally diseased people in society? What is the cause, the bottom line cause? Lunacy. How many lunatics in society today? Madness, incoherence, blindness, deafness, dumbness. You know what is adult? Adult. D-O-L-T. Adult. Adult is like an idiot also.
Some understanding they have, but for their behavior, nothing goes through the mind. Sodomy does that. Sexual perversion does that. Free sex does that. Liberal kind of life, this is what. Dullards, people who think slowly, they cannot understand. And distracted persons, people that you say something to, they listen to you for a while, and suddenly they don't remember anything that you have been telling them. All that, the cause of it is zina, adultery, fornication, lesbianism, gay life, homosexuality, having sex with whoever and whenever you want, raping women, and so on. All those things are the causes of a mentally deranged and reduced society. And so I say that they, in Mu'tafiqa, they lived a bewildering assortment of abnormal persons in that society, and sodomy was a direct cause of their unsound mind and bodies. Now they did have, with the women folk, obviously I mentioned here, like rapes and so on used to carry on, and liberal sex was practiced, or free sex was practiced. Now the children that were born as a result, those children were pathetic to behold. Those children were pathetic. I do not want to go into all the types of children that were born, but you can imagine for yourself what harm and what guilt have those innocent children done to society, that they should be born with so many defects. Here is a note coming out. I mentioned to you, was it last week or the week before, about the amount of people that, Muslims I'm talking about, that have contacted me over the past 3 years with the problem that they are suffering from homosexuality, and women folk from the problem of lesbianism. But obviously, when I speak of women folk, it is to a much lesser extent. Mostly, I've been approached by gays who are living a homosexual life, and they pretend to me that they feel they cannot do anything about it. I have said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says it is an unnatural form of sex. And I believe that it is true, it is so. Anybody that wants to, that has a fear of Allah, that has some measure of taqwa in his heart, he can let go, and let go immediately, from the time that they make their niyyah and they make their decision. To spur them on to making such a decision, what I have done here is I have inquired and also researched a bit of information on the modern problem as a result of sodomy. Note, gays and lesbians of today who indulge in the unnatural and shameless wanton acts of sodomy suffer from multiple forms of mental subnormalities and mental disorders, exactly as in the time of Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam. The development of their mind is arrested, and there is severe impairment of their mental faculties. They have severe psychopathic disorders. Look, these are the new terms that are being used today. The problem is the problem of the people of Nabi Lut alayhi salam. The medical practitioners, scientists and so on of today, however, have written it out in this way. I, a minute ago, gave you the problem as it was in the time of Nabi Lut alayhi salam, and I used the terms that have been used there. Those terms have now been modernized. But the same disease. So I'm using those modern terms in order to explain to you how we have rationalized and modernized the terms, but the disease is exactly the same. So nothing has changed. Here it is. Firstly, those who practice homosexualism and lesbianism and all kinds of free sex, this is what is going to hit them in the dunya today. The development of their mind will be arrested, and there will be some severe impairment of their mental faculties. They have severe psychopathic disorders and abnormal tendencies and drives. Now the word here, abnormal tendencies and drives. Doctors cannot explain this. Abnormal tendencies and drives. You know what we call this? We call it waswas. Who produces those abnormal tendencies and drives towards lust and passion in a person? There it is, shaitan. So they say that, but we Muslims, alhamdulillah, we know who is responsible for that. And we know why one becomes, because you're neglecting your duty towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course then these things happen to you. Let's go on a few more very, very nice words, high sounding words, which make people feel they are very professional, and then they go on indulging in these fancies and free sex. The psychoneurotic. The psychoneurotic persons remain a part of society. In other words, you sometimes wonder, and I also wonder, that many of these gays and lesbians are actually very important people in society. We learn they are directors of companies, they are owners of big businesses, they are in government, in civil service, there's rich and wealthy amongst them, as well as there are poor. How come these people, oh yes, there are many professors, I believe there are many priests and so on also who indulge in all these things. Important people, very important persons are gays and lesbians. So it makes one wonder, how can these people attain to these high ranks and high positions when they are actually indulging in sodomy? So here it is. Medical science itself informs us that all is not well up there with all these professional people. All is not well there. And you and I know how often we have heard every now and then the disaster that strikes these people and how they take their lives. Now here it is, medical science tells us, the few things I've mentioned and I want to go on with this, the psychoneurotic persons, that is to say people who indulge in sodomy, the psychoneurotic persons remain a part of society and may occupy important positions, but they are maladjusted people who are mentally ill. Psychotic people, again, are more severely disordered. They have a very disturbing personality, but in our times, when society takes proudly to the unconventional, such people live and flow regularly within society. The most dangerous part of the psychoneurotic sodomist is obsessional compulsive neurosis, in which he or she is occupied with compulsive thoughts, images, and unnatural inclinations and acts, which can lead to serious violations and crimes. The main abnormality of the psychotic sodomist is mania and depression or melancholia. They are caught up in moods of gloom and helplessness and assailed with ideas of self-blame and guilt. They also develop homicidal tendencies in their depressive states. Manic reactions are not uncommon in others. They become overactive, over-talkative, restless, and they develop grandiose ideas to overcome their feelings of insecurity and tension, which also leads to brutal violence, to brutality, to violence, and to terrible crimes. Long-time gays and lesbians develop schizophrenic reactions in which they withdraw from reality into fantasy, or they suffer from hallucinations, or they behave in a bizarre, impulsive, an incomprehensible manner. Sodomy is unnatural to man. It is not part of the nature of man. It is not part of the disposition of man. It is a drive induced by Shaitan through corrupt and immoral friends and society, by which means Shaitan reduces Allah fear, meaning taqwa, and increases the desire for lust and sensation. Cursed by Allah Ta'ala are all sodomists. And of course, without going into detail, all of us are aware of the AIDS endemic or epidemic that has struck the world. I do not have to tell you how many millions are expected to lose their lives by the year 2000, which is within a few years' time. And I have read, and you must have read also, they say half the population of this world could be wiped out in the next few decades at the rate at which AIDS is advancing throughout the world. So there it is on our doorstep. And Muslimin, beware. Allah's azab today comes in a completely different shape. In the period of Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam, it came in a direct way, which we will learn of just now. But today it comes in an indirect way. But I will say, the way it came in Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam's time, the direct way, I will not say is better. Na'uzubillah, one shouldn't say that. I mean, it is more clearer. And the way it comes today, we do not know where it's going to hit you from and how it is going to hit you. But this is more, it is more terrible this disguised way in which AIDS comes and people get hold of the HIV virus, it is terrible, really terrible. So those who practice this type of free sex, they better beware. Otherwise they will be struck with an azab, which is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And now to continue, let me complete the story of Nabi Lut alayhi salam. The people gathered outside the home of Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam. Which people? The sodomous people. They were shouting, they were screaming with lust for the handsome guests of Nabi Lut alayhi salam. Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam was highly concerned for their safety and their welfare. He was thoroughly ashamed of the wanton lust of his people. He asked them to leave his guests alone. He appealed to them that these were strangers and visitors who had caused the people no harm or injury. He asked them, "Is there no sensible, upright and prudent man among you?" In the Quran, the words are used, Rajulun Rashid. Subhanallah. Is there no Rajulun Rashid amongst you? Is there no upright, prudent, sensible man amongst you? I am asking you, look, these people have done you no harm. They are my guests and my visitors. Do you not respect my home? Why do you not respect my visitors? Go away from here. And they say, "No, we are not going anywhere." Oh, Lut, we want them and we are not leaving your place until we get hold of them. On this, Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam says, "I cannot find one single exception amongst you. There is not one sensible person amongst you who is standing with me and explaining to you that I am right and you are wrong. Not one. Is there no such person amongst you?" He asked them. He told them also, "Are you so obtuse?" He asked them. "Why do you commit such lewdness?" He asked them. "Why do you not go to your wives?" He asked them. The people were up in arms. They roared with laughter at his words. They mocked him. They jeered him. "We will knock you down if you resist us," they told him. "Hand your guests over to us and be rid of them," they told him. "We will drive you out of this town unless you give them to us," they told him. "They have come to our town, so they belong to us," they told him. Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam was overwrought with fear and anxiety. How best could he protect them from the folly of his people? He turned appealingly to his people again, and addressing them he said, "Why do you not marry my daughters and take them? They will then be permissible for their husbands." But his people were past reasoning. They thundered. In other words, look at the explanation. Nabi Lut alayhi salam in a final instance tells them that, "Look, leave my guests alone. My daughters, unmarried daughters, are in this house. Why didn't you make nikah to them and then they will become your wives and then you can use them? They are then legal for you." And even that, they were past reasoning. They thundered, "We want your guests to satisfy our lust. We do not want to marry your daughters. Now give up, O Lut, or we will force our way into your home. We will break down your door. For surely we will take them." Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with this request, "O Allah, O that I be granted a solid protection." The dua of Nabi Lut alayhi salam, "O that I be granted, O Allah, a powerful, a mighty support from you, O Allah. O that I be granted a solid protection from the infernal fools." The word in the Quran that appears, Ruknun Shadid, Rajulun Rashid, and the other one in the ayat which I am going to recite later, Ruknun Shadid. O Allah, give me a rukn, a pillar of support. O Allah, give me something whereby I can protect these handsome young men that are in my house who are visiting me. The angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had kept silent all this time. They kept silent, they watching the whole scene. They had noted the desperate appeals of Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam as he spoke to the people. They received now, the malaikas received divine permission to reveal their identities to Nabi Lut alayhi salam, and so they disclosed their secret to him. They told him, "Do not look at our human shapes and appearances, for verily we are the messengers of Allah," meaning we are the angels of Allah, "sent on a mission to destroy your callous and miserable people for their obstinacy and their insubordination. And nothing can prevent their punishment due to the divine will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." Awlud, you and your family alone will be secure from the punishment of Allah Ta'ala, except for your wife, who is counted amongst the evildoers, and will therefore be destroyed with the rest of them. There was nothing anyone could do now. The people of Nablut alayhi salatu wasalam had brought disintegration and destruction upon themselves, and the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was now in action. Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam now knew that no harm would come to his guests, for they were the malaikas, the angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, invested with the task of meeting out the divine will and punishment of Allah ta'ala upon a sinful and rebellious people. Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam called his family together, called his handful of believers together, and they marched out of the sinful region upon which the inevitable punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala